But it, Lee, it's only funny if we record the part before this instead of just this part.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't expect that one to show up again. Huh. Strange choice.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Faking Movies, episode 2, order 66. Seth eating a cherry? Ones. Is mm-hmm. that cherry? So you're going to be also spitting pits on Mike. Yeah, that's great.
Let me just check if it's my edit. I don't think it is.
It's not mine.
Seth edit. Huzzah.
About
he throws the cherries over his shoulder.
On Monday, I bought 3 pounds of cherries at the grocery store because they were $5.
Yeah.
Forgetting that my partner doesn't really eat cherries.
I fell into a similar trap because they were inexpensive.
So I've finished 3 pounds of cherries now, it being Thursday. I'm more cherry than man at this point.
Never gonna shit right again. That's rough.
Call me Zachary Taylor, by the way. I'm popping cherries.
Question.
Yes.
Explain.
You laughed at this joke the other day, so I don't know why you're asking questions, but go on.
I don't remember laughing at this. I've also been in a fugue state for a while, so.
I see.
Yeah.
Explain.
Oh.
Is it something about, Zachary Taylor was, Johnny Appleseed for cherries?
No, it's much sillier. Former President Zachary Taylor, when he died after the 4th of July dedication of the Washington Monument, and at the celebration they had lots and lots of cherries and iced milk, and he was known to be a fan of both of those things, and he apparently indulged to an absurd degree and left with a tummy ache and then died a few days later. The 1800s, the early 1800s, they didn't know what the cause of death exactly was. So they used a catch-all term called cholera morbus, which basically was just, you don't have cholera, but you did die while shitting yourself to death, shitting your brains out.
Yep.
And for many years, there was speculation that he maybe ate so many cherries that he gave himself cyanide poisoning.
Oh, from eating all the pits, right.
Is not possible.
No, you would have to eat just a gratuitous amount of cherry pits.
Same thing with apple seeds, same thing. All this stuff is not actually possible. At one point years ago, the last remaining family members agreed to an exhumation because there were also it's a president who died, so conspiracy theories, and was nothing they could tell from the remains that really led to a cause of death. And then
probably because people... his corpse was just caked in absolute shit. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is people already knew, this is reputable doctors, scientists, and historians had already come to the conclusion that the White House was built on a literal sewer at that point. And he died of something resembling cholera. We're pretty sure it's because everyone in DC was dumping their shit into the drinking water and it collected literally underneath the White House.
Exactly. Right.
That makes sense.
I mean, DC is a goddamn swamp. And mm-hmm. Also, maybe he was just lactose intolerant.
Could be.
And to death.
Could have been both.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like a perfect storm of tummy ache.
You were talking about diarrhea, and then Seth mentioned eating all the pits, and I'm picturing a fully automatic BB gun, but that also is a fire hose of diarrhea at the same time. Just those pits just shooting out of a butthole.
Once in a while, there's a door jam, a traffic jam at the exit, so to speak.
If it sorts just wrong and you got to blast a real shotgun shell of pits out of your butt. Wow.
And it just really cracks paints the picture. Porcelain.
Oh, yeah. Back then? Oh, yeah.
I really appreciate that 200 and order 66 episodes into the run of this show, uh-huh. we've gotten nothing but more sophisticated. You know, just yeah. uh-huh. highbrow, you know?
Yep, sure enough. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I might as well have bangs right now because of how high my brows appear.
Now, Lee, you were talking about maybe cutting your hair in the near future. Have you considered how many goofs you can do in that interim period? Like,
I know.
Like, you could give yourself bangs. We talked about White Girl with Cornrows. Love that for like a
could
week
do
or something.
Like Liberty Spikes.
Yeah.
I do have enough for that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's not a faux hawk, a straight up real mohawk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
With egg whites and everything.
Yeah.
I do have an egg hookup out here.
Hey.
So.
There you go.
Can you use egg beaters to do that, or do you got to use real egg?
I don't know. I think the protein needs to be right. I mean, you can use Elmer's, right?
But, I was going to say Elmer's would probably be much more
Elmer's
cost
was
effective.
The canonical back in my day, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... I don't know. You guys wouldn't understand this, but my hair is like so voluminous. And
what an absolute cunt.
Oh, flowing. Hey, Lee, you wouldn't understand this, but you know, my beard is so voluminous. That...
You're right. I wouldn't. You also, if you really wanted to get at me, you could have said, Lee, you won't understand this, but Zach and Maya's doctorates are.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Really difficult to hang on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure everyone listening already knows this, but I dropped out of my PhD program. So, you know,
I'll
always be
best.
A little sad about that. Yeah.
It's a shame they don't give you a piece of paper equal to the amount of time you spent there. You could have just a little corner or something.
Yeah, just a little corner. It says completed coursework. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, a transcript. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sounds
but
like
yeah,
somebody has a very expensive goof birthday coming up.
Ooh.
No, I don't know. I'm not going to remember this.
Yeah, that's good. That's better that you don't.
Yeah. Like, as with most things.
I don't
such
need goof.
Above, so
I don't need
below.
Extra goof things to, like, say I'm going to hang up on the wall and never get around to.
There is that. Yeah.
I like the laser discs that I own now, which I will put up on the wall once I remember to buy frames.
I have another one of those for you. Yeah, shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right. I don't have that one. It's at your house.
I look at it every single day. It's literally right in front of me as we speak.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
We are highbrow is what I was getting at.
That was a long walk, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, okay. You interrupted me, so...
Did that's true
piece of shit. We haven't talked in a long time.
It's true.
It's been a minute.
What's a minute. What gives? Y'all too busy for me now?
It's
yeah. I mean, honestly,
I still have three jobs, man.
Oh my god, wow, that's so devastating. I thought it was gonna be a joke and a laugh them up, and you just.
And that's how we all quit the podcast.
No. I was looking up the other day how long we've been doing it, and the first episode came out in July 2017. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yep. Sure enough. That is a bizarrely long time.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you believe we're still friends after all this time?
I mean, yeah.
God, I'm so glad you answered that way, because the last time I set one up...
Well, speaking of,
that was a real gamble, but I needed that one. I needed that validation, that affirmation.
If you cut your hair, probably have to reconsider. But
unless we leave for love it and add it onto Zach's head.
Yeah, donate your hair to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's technically long enough now. It depends on how they
feel
about...
You need at least 6 inches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I could... I think I'd be getting, at least for parts of my head, more than 6 inches hacked.
No, it's kind of not worth it if it's not a lot of it. You know? Like, if it's just parts.
It looks like a lot of it.
Yeah, we could probably do it. We could probably do it. And then we will individually push each of those hairs into a net. to add to Zach's head. Now we're gonna need two nets
straight into my scalp, like
two nets. I'm listening, well, and then yeah, we'll go to your Zach
because of the pumpkin.
Oh, right, because Zach's head's so freakish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, if I ask, they'd be like, we don't serve your kind.
We don't have a shaved Wookiee. What's going on here?
So, Zach, you're alluding to just directly doing hair transplants.
Yeah, but you wouldn't give me the hair roots because you're just cutting your hair. So it would fail, like, in a spectacular fashion. But it'd be fun for, like, a day.
I think it would be, like, real fast and bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thought, though. When I was a lad, my dad decided we needed nicer grass for our backyard. So he bought these plugs of grass, yep. Much like a hair plug situation.
Same concept, yeah.
And you know, we had to go in a grid across our whole yard and, like, use a little tool to pull out a tiny cylinder of ground and put every individual fucking plug. I think it was like 20,000. And what if we did that to your head?
Yeah, you've described hair plugs. That is what the hair thing. Plugs are.
They really do. They like poke holes in your fucking head like that?
Yeah, they take. Usually they take it from the back or they thin out where you do have hair and then they put little holes in and then they graft the root and skin and everything into that hole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. People are that not okay with being bald?
Yeah.
Not only that, it costs tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. And it looks like shit.
Yeah,
it
always.
It does generally look stupid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Have you not seen pictures of close-up hair transplants? It is a hellscape. It's awful.
Yeah, especially because you like get psoriasis and things around it too. Because
and they reject out quite often because it's like a
so
giant.
You just have like parts of it that it looks like you caught mange.
Yeah. Oh, it's really bad. Yeah, I don't. Male vanity is bizarre.
You're gonna like just wear wigs.
Yeah.
Buy cool wigs.
Yeah, give up. Like, when who cares? You get bored of that, you can pay that gorilla company to come steal your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Season one. Yeah. Exactly.
Season one. Mm-hmm. Good reference. Solid reference. High five.
Hey. We're not gonna do it because of. Oh, I'll do it. Yay. Okay.
Oh,
I'll say because of editing, but like you know, who fucking cares? It's not my edit.
Seth's edit, baby.
Oh, it's my edit.
Been over here,
baby.
Been over here farting for 15 minutes.
There's a really weird room tone you got going on there, Zach.
Uh huh. It's I could barely breathe anymore.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I don't got much else to say. Do we want to get into this film?
I think when we were originally going to record last week, before we ran into just some scheduling issues, I had goofums I wanted to bring up before we started, but I don't remember any of them. So
lost the time.
Did you get new goofums?
No.
As per your task, as per your quota, did you fulfill your goof quota this week?
Am I?
Yeah, dude.
Is that a thing?
Sorry. It's going to be on your quarterly review.
Yeah. Fuck. I've had a surplus of goof from so many times. Can't I carry those over?
No, man. You reach a threshold and they don't roll over.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, dude. It sucks.
We have this shadow spreadsheet where we grade every episode for you. And
oh, my God.
I don't know.
Would I have, like, a D average?
2023 is not looking great. Let's just say.
Man, all right,
Zach, why do we have so many shadow spreadsheets? We have like three or four at least.
It is untenable at this point. I agree.
I don't even know what they're all for.
You know what? I'll throw this out here just to stay quote unquote current, even though this won't come out for months.
Uh-huh.
So Barbenheimer happened.
Anybody see
either of those? Yeah.
I saw the Barbs.
I saw them both, yeah.
I think Barb's got a little heavy and sentimental, but
I didn't mind the sentimentality. It was just wanted it to be great, and it was good.
The ending just took forever. We didn't need that. I think there were a bunch of times where it could have like had a good, fun, positive ending that was still sentimental, and they didn't do it.
My thought on it is. I think it's a perfectly good movie, and compared to Greta's other movies, I think it's her least good one, and that's That's, you know, that's kind of my feelings about Barbie.
It's not really her wheelhouse. Like, everybody was excited for Greta's Barbie, but
I don't
at the
know
end
that's
of the day,
not her wheelhouse. Yeah. I think,
especially because it's not gonna, like, direct some like big blockbuster soon. Like,
she's doing both
like
Chronicles of
Ninja
Narnia.
Turtles,
well, she's gonna do two Chronicles of Narnia. There's like seven books, Zach.
Man, I
sure.
I mean, I wasn't allowed to read them because they were obvious propaganda.
Well, and I refused to read them because of my problems with Christianity.
Yeah, but I mean, that too. I didn't have any desire as soon as my parents were like, that lion's Jesus. And I'm like, oh.
Actually,
why'd you ruin it for me?
I didn't read them because I didn't read as a child. You could have told me that it was about anything, and I would have had the same reaction. Oh, it's a book? I'm good.
Yeah. There's so many movies to watch. Why would I?
Well, yeah.
TV shows.
Yeah.
That's... Mom, I can't watch 12 hours of TV a day if you have me reading books.
Yeah. Yep. And also, Street Sharks, that I'm now far too old for, has come out.
Never.
So...
If Mark Sinclair has taught us one thing, you're never too old.
Two things on Barbie. Vin Diesel's real name, isn't it?
Yes. Two things on Barbie. I feel like, so I haven't seen it yet, but I think the thing that you guys are describing, which are, I've seen reviews that were kind of dancing around this, because nobody really wants to shit on it, because A, it is great, and B,
it is fun. Yeah.
Everybody does want people like Greta to be making more movies.
There's
so.
Absolutely fantastic performances in it, and that's like, that is, one, it's the actors, two, it's the writing, three, it's the directing. Like, there is good work happening in that movie.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I think
it was a little
Ken
heavy.
He's
the most showy performance.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, there were multiple big showstoppers with Ken, and there wasn't with Barbie.
I mean, my take on that is, like, it's because Barbie wants a real life, and this isn't real.
I guess.
So, like, of course she's not going to do the big show-stopping numbers. I see what you're saying is, like, it's a movie about Barbie, and Ken is the scene stealer. You know?
That is kind of some of the subplot, though, right? Like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Anyway, these reviews were kind of saying, like, the movie industry has obviously been suffering a little bit, and the marketing for this was fucking wild, and everybody thought that this was going to save everything in the world, which almost hypes it up a little too much. Like, nothing can live up to that thing, right? And
it did make
nearly $1 billion already. Like, it's doing spectacularly.
It's been out for 2.5 weeks, and at the time we're speaking right now, it's up to 824 million. Like,
that's completely insane in a time where no one goes to the movie theaters anymore.
Yeah, true.
No, stop. Everybody's been going to movies. There have been so many huge box office weekends this year. We are beating records from the pre-pandemic as moviegoers. Okay. It's the studios keep pumping out the nobody's going to movies rhetoric. Sure. Oh, what's also going on? We can't pay our writers or our actors.
Yeah. Well,
it has been getting better.
Yeah,
sure.
It's part of the studios claiming that they don't have enough money. Is the, we can't, nobody goes to movies. No, everybody is going to the movies.
Okay.
Everybody's back.
I'm speaking for my town, where we have gone to first day of several movies, and there have been like seven people. So, like, that does seem to be true here, but, like, probably not everywhere, as you know.
Everything I've gone to recently has been pretty, pretty packed.
Well,
I saw the more recent animated Spider-Man, which was very good. And that
which
was,
we talked about on a previous episode.
And that was a packed show. Barbie was packed.
Yeah, that one I think was no empty seats. Where I went to see Barbie and Oppenheimer, which, by the way, Oppenheimer, people are talking, like, a lot of people are saying this is Nolan's best movie. It's going to win Best Picture. Downey Jr. is going to get Best Supporting Actor. I didn't like that movie at all.
A lot of Nolan movies seem to fall into that category where you're like,
I think I also just don't like Nolan as much as
like, he did that thing that he does, and people do seem to like that, but I might not be one of them.
Well, like, we the movie theater in our town that we go to, because we have a membership there, literally every showing on the first weekend, Thursday night through Sunday, of both movies sold out.
I saw, like, people on insane. Blank Check. They were talking about
Sister Podcast.
Second hand tickets for the good IMAX Oppenheimer were mm-hmm. selling on like the aftermarket for like $100 to $200
yeah
for a movie ticket.
Yeah, I mean those IMAX tickets were probably like $30 or $40 anyway. Like sure, I know that's a huge markup, but like
they were selling like Taylor Swift concert tickets. Like that's
I know
crazy.
I'm just saying it's not like gotta keep it in mind. It's not like like a $7 matinee ticket was going for $200.
No,
like,
yeah, for sure. Well, and it's one
it
of the
still insane.
One of the 14 IMAXs or whatever. It, so like
there are 30 in the U.S. Yes.
Okay, sure.
Aren't yeah. half of them in museums?
I think a lot of them are, and probably. I think at least like I think a third of them are in California. One of them in New York City is probably the closest one to people who listen to this show, maybe, or are on it. Not doxing anyone.
Oh, yeah, did. I think that's the closest one to me, and it's not close at all. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's one in Canada that might be closer to you.
Probably.
Well, yeah, because, geez. Yeah.
Well, now they just say one more place, and they can triangulate the fuck out of me.
Mexico City.
Oh, yeah, ooh, I was going to okay. say that. What's the distance to Mexico City? The exact
that's a
distance.
Wide berth. That's a wide berth. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, it's almost like you're the next Men's World Cup. Because
oh, it's all over the fucking place.
It
yeah.
is the entirety of the North American continent.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, that's fun. Fucking stupid. Mm. That they're gonna be shuttling teams around between.
Does Greenland count?
Greenland?
It's owned by Denmark, but I guess it is North
yeah.
America.
Denmark has a very loose claim in the sense that no one else cares.
Yeah, nobody wants sure. Greenland because it kind of. Not.
Trump did for sure, but
well, he's a fucking moron. But
I believe the official way it's described is Denmark administers. They're the administrative,
right.
yeah, okay. of yeah of yeah. civic government activity.
Yeah,
but they
but
don't like claim it as their own. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. The second thing about Barbie that I find very very funny, but makes me sad for humanity. I saw a bunch of Reddit threads. Where mostly women were taking their mostly male partners to see the movie. And then afterwards, the male partners felt like they were tricked into seeing feminist propaganda. And I was like, hold on.
Those women should break up with those men. Because
obviously, yes.
Yeah.
A, like, what did you think Barbie was going to be? And B, like, how fragile is your sense of, like, yourself and the universe that you think a movie is, like, offensive to that degree because... feminist undertones like
this
God,
is the,
damn
this
it
is the, this is the whole thing that comes up all the time of if you are part of a group who is not being marginalized and you are even right. see a different group getting any kind of representation you suddenly feel persecuted
yeah. mm-hmm.
It's so stupid.
It is.
Fuck those people.
Yep.
Like, yeah. The thing about Barbie is it has a feminist message and it's not even a particularly smart or good one.
Right, it's not like, it's not yeah. as insidious as you might think.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like it, yeah.
My partner's description of the movie at the end was, that was a lot of fun, that was very pretty. It also is what a dumb person thinks a smart movie might be.
Mm-hmm. Well, these people would fall into that category where
probably.
They felt like they were tricked in some way.
Oh,
there were so
pobrecitos.
Many.
You also
so
I,
many
this,
of these.
This is a thing that has come up a few times when we've been talking lately that I always have to remind myself. My partner also has a doctorate and does analysis of this type.
Sure.
At a doctor level. So, like,
that's
you know,
about as high
it's
as
not
gets.
The way that everybody is going to see this.
True.
Yeah.
Admittedly, but like, yeah, if you're offended by this kind of thing, what the fuck? Like,
mm-hmm.
just get over yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, it's almost
don't,
like they
don't
should
vote.
Have a,
definitely don't vote.
a movie back from season one of Faking Movies about racing up one of the hills, one of the really steep hills in Pittsburgh. They should
mm-hmm.
really
get over it.
Get
oh.
over it.
Well
I love how much that movie comes up.
Well, what? You did just rewatch it also.
I did just rewatch it, and I yeah. think it's very good.
Sure enough. All right, let's do the movie.
All right,
yeah.
Lee's faking a movie this week. I don't really want to talk about it, but yeah, go ahead.
Same. Okay. So the movie I'm going to fake is called Night on Earth, starring Winona Ryder, Giancarlo Esposito,
mm-hmm.
Rosie Perez, what is a quahog, Alex? And Roberto Benigni.
Quince.
Yeah, bafflingly.
Well, and so
Lee,
you guys,
Lee, you saw this cast, and the first thing you said was,
mm-hmm. you asked me, "Hey, do you know this movie?" I said, "No, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever heard of it." You sent me the cast, and I said, "Huh, is this like some sort of Jim Jarmusch movie or something?" And
yeah, it definitely
yeah,
is.
Yeah, of course, turns out it is. I'm gonna make another. Put this in an envelope and hand it to you guys.
Okay.
Is it also in black and white?
We'll see.
Okay. I guess we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see.
Right. I'm just assuming.
It's a coin toss for a Jarmusch movie. Like,
this is what I'm getting at. Yeah, yeah. I have just as much chance of being right as I do being wrong.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Jarmusch is a big blind spot for me. I think I've seen like one, maybe two. Like, I've seen Only Lovers Left Alive, and I've seen it a bunch because I love it.
I like
it. And I've never felt compelled to watch any of his other movies. Yeah.
His early stuff is rough. It is... He loves the smell of his own farts in the early stuff.
I have a very good friend, a friend of mine, Sophie, who loves Jarmusch.
Okay.
And I've just, you know, she's given me several recommendations over the years that I, for one reason or another, have never really.
Now, we may have talked about this. You have a friend named Sophie. There has
been
a
we've talked about this.
Okay.
Yes.
So often.
She's seen the movie Sophie's Choice. I guess if your name is Sophie, that makes sense.
I've also given you other reasons off mic why she would not want to come on. And
understood.
Especially for that show. For that episode. So
I forget things and I apologize. That's fair. Yeah.
Also, she has like a good job now, so I don't want to bother her with this nonsense.
I have a good job. You bother me every fucking week with this nonsense. I'm kidding. I love doing this.
I have three jobs, and I only
Seth, when are you going to quit at least one of those jobs?
I really should. I think that the time is... Oh, so the one manager I liked at one of the jobs just fucking quit on the floor and was like...
Oh, wow. I know which job it is.
The
on
the floor
describing how they quit.
Betrays that.
Well, whatever. Still, like... Oh boy, it was apparently a big deal, and everybody that was under him is now quitting. There are like, I don't know, like 10 of us, and we're all like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be around anymore.
That happens a lot in that industry, and that definitely happens in the sort of mode that this place seems to be taking, where it's kind of hands-off vanity project owners. It's like, that's...
It kind of seem that way, yeah.
Well, it's hands-off owners until...
It suddenly isn't. Right.
Until
right.
they show up because it's their night.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lee, tell us about your Jim Jarmusch
mess around.
So since I have seen so few Jim Jarmusch, I didn't have like a Jim Jarmusch-y template that like got in the way of me making up a movie. So
let's go.
We don't have
good.
To.
Only,
yeah, so that...
Only Lovers is a great only one to have seen, I would say.
Yeah,
it's such a good movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
So, here are a few things that didn't work out for me. I thought of working backwards from the title, Night on Earth, and trying to come up with some kind of Cockney rhyming slang. Night on Earth is Cockney rhyming slang for... but I just got stuck on the phrase, Night on Earth, Fred on Durst, and I really didn't know where to go from there. So.
You short-circuited your own brain, Limp
Bizkit. I really did. I was standing over the sink doing dishes for like 25 minutes just saying, Fred on Durst, Fred on Durst.
That is what I picture you doing in your spare time when I think about it. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I wanted to point out that Seth's movie from last week would have been perfect for a movie called Night on Earth, a movie about like a tidal locked planet where it's always night on one side.
Sure, well, yeah. Would be weird.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I can take that one. You know,
if his
scores are better than my future scores, I'll take
just,
that one.
Just say it. Just repeat it verbatim.
Yeah,
I can send you. I can send you the.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'll record it as a bonus. I thought about
Ready for spelling errors, dickwad.
Nice. I thought about changing the title to be Night with a K, but I really didn't. Nothing really.
A night's
about an alien space knight who has to come down and find Don Quixote de la Mancha del Rosario del Dolioso Caballero del Triste.
You know, honestly, Seth, I hate that you know the whole Spanish original title. Like, it honestly, like, just
was
feels
it,
like showing off.
Was it clear that those were real sounds and words? I'm not.
I heard him do it without.
No, please don't. Please don't.
más de Cristina del Toblioso y Caballero de la Triste Figura.
Okay, this that sounded Seth's more edit. Like words, but this is Seth's edit.
So he's not going to bleep
it
out.
Oh, yeah, have at it, bud. Go one more time, maybe.
Talk about Don Quixote de la Mancha del Señor del Toblioso y Caballero de la Triste Figura until the cows come home. By Miguel de Cervantes Severino.
Well, until you saying you did...
that took as long as it took Terry Gilliam to make that movie.
Sing.
Man, it was almost worth it for that. Until you did that, I was going to say, wow, that's a great idea. I love that. I wish I had thought of that. But now I don't like it anymore.
Oh, okay. So, well, maybe it'll come back things. Around if you have a space knight who's there to meet Don Quixote de la Mancha del Señor del Toblioso y Caballero de la Triste Figura.
It's so hot here. I'm going to take my pants off. Hold on. You keep going, Seth.
Actually taking his pants off.
Oh, he sure is. Huh? How about that?
Who wears pants in fucking August? My God.
Yeah. Why are you wearing pants? That's crazy.
I don't know, because, you know, not having a job, you need some sense of routine, and, like, getting dressed is that for me
sure,
at this point.
Sure, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. All right.
Seth, you get it.
I get it. Yeah, right. Zach, not being unemployed in a long time.
I've been employed since I can remember, yes.
So here's
I'm
where
Zach.
I.
I'm good at what I do.
I don't get paid. Nice.
I get paid money because my name is Zach.
That's you.
So here's where I did end up. So we start on Giancarlo. He's a respected documentarian, and he is pompous. And we know both of these things because he tells us about all his very well respected investigations and films. Right up top.
Okay.
Interesting. So he decided that his next topic will be to debunk all the crazy myths and rumors
about Don Quixote de la Mancha, the Dulcinea del Toboso, Caballero de la Triste Figura.
So he's going to debunk all the crazy myths and rumors surrounding the now decades old disappearance of enigmatic, mononymous rock star Earth, Winona Ryder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, cool.
There's a long list of conspiracies around her, like aliens going off to live with Elvis.
Like,
but the one that has
a space
the biggest
knight, maybe.
Well, you couldn't have just skipped that part. Oh my god.
The one that has the biggest footprint and staying power, by far, is based in Satanic Panic of the '80s type issues.
She played D&D once.
Right. Yeah. And so Giancarlo or John Knight is going to debunk that one. That's what the focus of his documentary is going to be.
Wow.
And solve the mystery in his newest film, Night on Earth.
I get it now.
One of my mentors was literally named John Knight. Confusing.
Weird.
Yeah.
Do I have to bleep that?
Nah, doesn't matter.
All right. So the movie's all investigation. We'll get Rosie Perez as an expert, because it's a documentary. As an expert on the Satanic Panic of the 80s, and her role is like the expert talking head in the doc, and she begins as like a very objective person, but slowly as the movie gets things get moving, her delivery will change a little bit. And I'm thinking of it as like a performance that rewards rewatching, so you'll
see, you can,
like,
see her breaking slowly.
Yeah, she's subtly leading Giancarlo down a road to ruin as the movie goes along. I think you'll be able to see her demeanor and such change on your first watch. Where maybe it just seems like she's been doing research and getting sucked in.
But there's
and
more like
up.
Red
and,
herrings
and,
if you
right,
do a second
yeah.
watch. And
so this like is... the first watch, you think she's opening herself up to the possibility that something hard to explain actually did happen with the case. But as you rewatch it, just like Seth is saying, you'll see like she's laying down clues that maybe you didn't notice the first time around.
So the format, horror movies do both of these things I'm about to mention. One is fake documentary where you're literally in the documentary, and one is making of the documentary where you see shots of it, but you're also sort of outside of the actual thing itself. Is it the same?
Yeah, I don't
one?
Know which I prefer for this, but I'm not sure.
So, Lee, would you say that, what is his name, Mark Knight is...
John Knight,
excuse me. Is he maybe tilting at a windmill?
He's not. See, here's the thing.
Okay. So no windmills at all. No.
Right.
Let's
so the
be
whole time,
really clear about that. Zero windmills.
So the whole time, like,
damn it,
that we're seeing all these things happen with Rosie Perez, Giancarlo John Knight is like being a dick. He's the smartest guy in the room, sure. But he has no idea he's being led astray. So he's not chasing down these leads. The leads are being planted. Mm-hmm. In a way that he's not even aware of. And, like, you know, it's like, John, you found this thing. Isn't this interesting? And I did some more research. He's like, yes, I did find that. You know, like, he's so self-assured of how good he is at what he does that he doesn't see what's happening to him.
And this is, people are actively trying to sort of confuse him? Or this is just sort of the nature of the beast?
Rosie Perez
just a complicated...
is.
Well, it's kind of a something that becomes clear by the end.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's also going to be another runner throughout the movie where Roberto Benigni is a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That works.
So, like, while Rosie Perez is like the academic who studies satanic panic, or that's at least the way that they're presenting her in the documentary, he's the like person who believes in the theory of Earth being Earth, the rock star played by Winona Ryder. Mm-hmm. Being embroiled in some sort of satanic conspiracy.
He's Ancient Aliens guy with the hair.
Yeah. So Giancarlo keeps going back to him, and every time he's there, he's like clearly being very condescending. And Giancarlo's voiceover makes it clear that he keeps including Roberto as like a cautionary tale to those who aren't as smart or level-headed as he is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as with Rosie, there's all these little bits of subtle manipulation in Roberto's performance, little bits of evidence that Roberto feeds to him. And then Giancarlo voiceovers like the clue to the real solution to the mystery. Like, mm-hmm. But on rewatch, it's clear that Roberto is giving him very purposeful info to lead Giancarlo down. It's like Giancarlo thinks he's uncovering things that Roberto has been feeding him very subtly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because of the way his performance is going to go, on the first watch, you might not notice that that's what's going on, but when you know what's happened, now it's going to be a little more clear.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's also going to be like visual clues in these scenes, like Roberto has copies of Rosie Perez's book in the background, just like little seeds that suggest a connection between the two of them that we don't actually like speak about or point out, but are there in the movie if you're paying attention.
Yeah. When you keep saying rewatch... Yeah, that kitty is being just wild.
Yes, that's petting a kitty, like Mark McKinney would.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. When you keep saying rewatch, you don't mean human audience members rewatching your movie. You mean we show the thing like twice in your movie.
No. I mean like if you've seen the movie once,
you watch it,
it'll
again.
Land a specific way. And then if you watch it again, there'll be more to pick up. And like, you know, you may pick up on it the first time, but like
it's
the type of movie that... You know, like, this is a very different type of movie, but, like, every time I watch Hot Fuzz, I notice something new. Like, this is, that's the kind of vibe I want from this movie.
Okay, literally people watching the movie, not, like, the movie narrative is showing the audience.
Oh,
the actual
no, we're
audience.
Not, like, in the editing room and they're rewatching
that there's like,
footage.
Oh,
no,
there's,
no, no,
like,
no, no, no.
There's, like, secret shit going on.
Yeah, because it seems like,
No, Giancarlo is completely oblivious to this the whole time.
Right. Okay, makes sense. Yep, gotcha.
Because he thinks he's smarter than everyone,
right.
Really. He's just an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I feel that way about Jim Jarmusch a little bit. But
So we're also going to get to see a lot of footage. Like, so if you were worried that there wasn't going to be much Winona Ryder in this movie, there's going to be a lot of, like, archival footage of Earth, you know.
Yep.
She's performing, doing her rocker image. She's not satanic, but she has, like, an Earth Mother persona, and that's where the name Earth came from. And that's like Giancarlo is presenting this throughout the movie as like, here's where the satanic rumors came from, the misunderstood power of the Earth and the feminine, and he thinks he's very, very smart.
Mm-hmm. Was like the A plot the whole time, it's like, sure,
right,
okay.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's very convinced, and but the rest of the movie that's going on around him keeps undercutting all of his arguments, and he just doesn't know it.
Yeah.
He's so sure of himself that he can't get past this thesis that he came up with when he started the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, again, you know, with repeat viewings, we see our experts in some of this old concert footage. Like, there's Rosie Perez is, like, in the crowd. Or, like, even just Giancarlo, again, overlooks this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he never notices it. We don't point it out, but it happens in the movie.
Right.
Man, you're describing early grad school so hard. This is the thing that everybody's like, hey, have you considered a different thing? And they're like, nope.
Nope, never ever. That's the right answer.
Yep.
So eventually the movie has been getting weirder and things keep pointing to the satanic panic theory as being the actual answer to what happened. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, there's something going on here. Yeah. But, you know, Giancarlo is steadfast and oblivious because he's just so smart and such a great filmmaker, you know. Yeah. He's not sure. So I'm not sure how we get to this point. Towards the end, like, I don't know how do we wrap this up necessarily, but the what is going to happen is one of the experts, probably Rosie, tells him, you know, he's Giancarlo, you got to meet me somewhere. She thinks she's found important new info, but you have to come alone. Because this is like potentially some very dangerous stuff. There's very powerful people involved. So, you know, just some kind of lie to get him off his guard.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, but as a good filmmaker and, you know, I know that I need all this footage, whatever. So you see him like, you know, he sets up a little concealed camera on his person somewhere. You know, obviously when he gets there, Roberto Benigni is there and knocks him out. And then we get the final sequence of the movie, which is from Giancarlo's handheld, wherever, you know, that's somewhere on his body, still recording.
Yeah.
And we get the final scene, and it's like Winona is there and she just gets to fucking go wild on this, like, so big, and she is like just a hell priestess and she's sacrificing Giancarlo to Satan or something, and then maybe depending on the budget we get some like demons showing up and like, because we need Giancarlo to be wrong on every single level because his character is such a smug prick, and you know the movie cuts out as he's like ultimately getting murdered.
I like it.
And that's Night on Earth.
Man, that's it's very in the vein of Blair Witch and many things that have copied Blair Witch in
the ending is the ending was for sure very Blair Witchy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love this thing though. Like Hell House LLC is a more new one, and there's so many horror movies that are this thing where it's like, okay, you were on the right track, but you missed the actual thing entirely, and then you eventually die because that's how those things kind of end. But
because you're convinced of what reality can and cannot show you. And
it's well, and it's
admittedly,
either...
I'm reading a book right now, a novel about a true crime writer who's investigating a satanic panic crime, and that is definitely where I got the beginnings of this idea.
There's two motivations. There's the too stupid or too overly curious and you just can't stop like investigating the thing, or there's the one that you're describing where it's like people are so sure that they're right and that they have the key to the secret or whatever, and I think I like that version better because it's like, I don't know, there's just more going on perhaps,
but I just like the idea of like you get the investigation stuff, which is always, which can be fun and can be like really creepy if you do it right. Two, you get someone to root against.
Yeah.
Because
main character this, like, root against is really fun.
It's like, God, this fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And then three, we get to have like the big giant set piece at the end, you know? So like, the switch from maybe slow burn or like maybe atmospheric to just full on, hey, look at this fucking nightmare fuel that we're throwing at you right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can just so vividly picture the camera on body thing, and he probably falls down and you have to watch the end of the movie at a 90-degree tilt and and you kind of only see like part of what's going on. Like, that is so vivid because I feel like I've seen that thing and it's so fun. Yeah, I love it.
And the sound gets worse because it's being picked up on like,
you do the fake static and all that. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Perfect.
Yeah. Sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
And in stark contrast to this movie.
Not fun?
I don't think the word fun ever entered my mind during this experience.
All right, Lee. You want the IMDb one-sentence summary for this film? Quote, unquote.
Absolutely.
It is. That on Earth is a 1991 film. So reasonably early in Jim Jarmusch's career, I believe. I feel like.
Yeah, he had a couple
on Max right now.
Oh, is
it? I wouldn't. He had a couple of very indies before this, but this was one of his first.
Yeah,
like,
well,
ones,
that's
yeah.
pretty much the, anyway. An anthology of five different cab drivers in five American and European cities and their remarkable fares on the same eventful night.
Seth, man, I'm not an anthology movie kind of guy.
Man,
yeah.
As a concept, it always seems cool, and then as an execution, it always sucks.
These were not connected at
so,
all. Like,
so
the connection
yeah.
is there are cab drivers.
Seth, would you believe it took me until the fourth one of these to realize, oh my god, they're all cab drivers. that did not even cross my mind until like most of the way through.
Oh, until Armin, the Italian one.
I think so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Armin Mueller-Stahl is in this movie.
Yeah, he sure is.
There were some others that might have been hallmarks, but we didn't bother. Yeah.
You know what I love him in, Zach? A shameful favorite of ours, Angels and Demons.
Oh yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
He was actually one of the better characters in this. There's five of these vignettes.
I have a summary-ish of them that is hopefully as short as is humanly possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We start in Los Angeles. Well, so the mechanism, as I think Seth mentioned or alluded to, is it is the same literal time, but like in LA, you know, it's daytime when it is in Helsinki a different time.
Yeah.
But these are all happening concurrently. They're
also happening at the exact... Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. In
is
LA,
there a reason why they are happening all concurrently? Or
no,
it's
because
just...
we're going later in the night.
Well, like, as the time zones shift, it gets
right.
later.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, story meaning.
As
no.
Seth mentioned, there is zero continuity between the individual stories.
No. Right, so it's like nothing L.A., matters. It's like rush hour. In New York City, it's like prime going out time. In Paris, yep. it's like pretty late. In Rome, it's, you know, early morning. And in Helsinki, it's like dawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right, because it's night mm-hmm. on Earth. Right.
Right.
You got it. Okay.
I also didn't realize that Helsinki was further east than Rome.
Yeah, it's like, pretty far. It's pretty much like due north of Moscow and St. Petersburg. It's
Finland
really
is very far east.
Way
it's about as east as you can go in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It is literally as east as you can go if you don't include Svartvål.
Hmm.
Which is part of Norway, technically.
Okay.
I don't. God damn.
Oh, all right.
All right. In LA,
I did some research on Svartvål once. We were testing one of the Mars rovers. It was very fun because the rocky landscape sort of emulated Mars. It was a very fun little project.
Yet again, as always, let the IMDb preview thing go, and somehow mm-hmm. Night on Earth changed to an Adam Sandler movie, and I don't know why.
Wow. Which one?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know. It had Winona Ryder.
Basketball coach one? Oh,
no.
Winona. So it's Mr. Deeds.
Oh, I guess it is. Yeah, that makes sense. Fuck me. Okay, in Los Angeles, Wino is a cab driver. Gina Rollins, who you mm-hmm. may or may not know. Yeah,
I know.
She is a Hollywood exec who's returning from a flight at the airport where Wino picks her up. They're initially polar opposites. Wino's very aloof and very, like, standoffish.
Her name is also Corky. Corky Romano.
Sure.
Wow, that's another movie that with a character named Corky that I'm aware of. Holy shit. So we've got,
Corky
Night on Earth.
Uh-huh.
We've got Corky Romano.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Waiting for Guffman / Mascots, because it's
true.
The same
true.
Character
mm-hmm.
in both movies.
Shit.
We've got Corky from Bound.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck that is, but keep going.
Yeah.
The Wachowski movie.
Okay.
I think that's it. I think that's all of them that I know.
Well,
okay.
It's not a very normal sounding name to me.
Mm-mm.
Jim doesn't really do normal ever. It's mm-hmm. irritating.
Oh, that's true. When I think about the names in this fucking movie, yeah.
It's a lot, yeah.
Ugh. We'll get to it.
Yeah, so they're obviously polar opposites. Gina is extremely wealthy and powerful, and Wino's not. Gina realizes that Wino is, like, perfect for this upcoming role that she's trying and failing to fill. the whole reason she was on this trip, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. At the end, Wino says, no, I'd rather live my life, and declines. End of one-fifth of the movie.
Yep. they just talk, and Gina is like, hey, you should become a starlet. And she's like, "Nah, I don't really want to. I got this cab driving gig that I like."
Yeah. Zero payoff whatsoever. Pretty dumb.
That's it.
It's really
I forgot that Jarmusch made a zombie movie.
Mm. Yeah, with Adam Driver recently. And shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that when I was visiting Seth in a place he used to live that is kind of a swamp and gave some president's cholera, maybe. That movie was fine. Yeah, at some point, Adam breaks the fourth wall and he literally says, or the other character asks him, like, why did you do that? And he says, because Jim told me to.
Yeah.
And then they just move on. It's so weird. But yeah. That movie was kind of fun. Yeah.
It was okay.
Hmm.
Next, okay. New York City, the gem of the world.
The fifth character.
It's like
character.
The fifth character of this five-part shit
nightmare.
Strata.
Yep. So this is Giancarlo. Obviously, he fails to hail a cab for a while, and then Helmut shows up in a busted-ass cab, mm-hmm. like the silliest looking shit in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to go to Brooklyn from, I think, Manhattan.
Yeah,
like,
they're
pretty
in Manhattan,
far.
For sure.
Yeah. Helmut both does not know how to drive, literally.
Also
and
doesn't
does
speak
not
English.
Speak English, does not know how to get to Brooklyn, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So Giancarlo, in a bold move, says, what if I drive? And he goes, okay, and they switch places in a cab. I don't know.
Armin Mueller-Stahl plays an East German immigrant, a recent East German immigrant who had been a clown before.
Yeah, yeah.
And is now a cab driver who can't drive an automatic car, which is the most confusing thing.
Yeah, can't drive an automatic.
So I don't know what he's doing, if he's like trying to, like, it's very stop and starty. Like, I don't know if he just can't seem to comprehend that you don't have to move the thing.
My thought of how that
makes
sense.
Just jamming it from
is,
neutral into drive and neutral into drive and back and forth.
Well, I was going to say my thought is as to how that could make sense is every time he feels like it's time to shift, he goes to move his foot and just hits the brake.
That's possible.
Could
I guess I can see that, but they're on the opposite sides of a car usually.
And that's true.
You use the same foot for gas and brake and the other foot for the clutch.
Right.
It's complicated. Anyway, they get to
Brooklyn.
I don't
think Brooklyn. We need to find out
unless
how
you're double footing like I do.
Yeah. You do gas and brake different feet?
Yeah, no, I just double foot everything. Yeah,
Oh, a lot of drifting or street racing? Or...
Now, is there any drifting or street racing in this movie?
No, not really, sadly. Benigni drives kind of wild.
He drives in a crazy manner. Anyway, let's finish.
Now, if you guys were friends with Giancarlo Esposito and he like...
His name is Yo-Yo in this, by the way.
Yeah.
If he like, like gave someone like a real good burn, do you think you would be like, Giancarlo...
Fun.
Sure. Yeah.
Like if he were in a rap battle or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Speaking of which, young Giancarlo and, you know, Breaking Bad Giancarlo are very different people. Like, I'm always surprised when I see him in young roles,
mm-hmm.
and he's very boisterous and, like, excited about everything.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit his, like, modern-day persona.
That's true.
It's fun. I like it.
Or maybe he was acting.
Oh,
I suppose one could.
I heard he just drank a big bottle of the oil of Olivier, and then...
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That was
then, I can't remember if that was before the show started or after the show
definitely
started.
Definitely before the show started.
Okay.
All right. So they get towards Brooklyn. Giancarlo looks out the window and sees Rosie Perez, who is his sister-in-law. And she's out partying, and he's very upset about this because he thinks that she's stepping out on his brother, presumably.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he freaks out, and a bunch of fighting happens, and he throws her in the back of the cab. They talk some more. They drop her off. Giancarlo gets out in Brooklyn, and Helma departs and obviously is immediately lost because he doesn't know where he is ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the end of that story.
That's it. Hmm. You notice how nothing ever actually happens in any of these? It's
well,
a very
you're only at
movie.
Two, so let's get a third date.
Yeah.
There,
let's
shall we?
Blast through this. Yeah. So in Paris.
So it sounds like these are more like slice of life short films.
Yeah.
Slice of life in the worst way.
Yeah.
Where it's like a normal Tuesday afternoon and nothing fucking happens. Yeah. That kind of thing. Okay, Paris, a taxi driver picks up two ambassadors. They are all three from Africa.
The main guy is from Côte d'Ivoire.
Yep.
And
Ivory Coast. The
other guys are from, geez, I can't remember, but
somewhere in the northern bits, but they recognize that he's from Côte d'Ivoire pretty quickly.
And are like assholes about it.
Yeah, so they talk down to him a bunch because I guess, you know, taxi driving is potentially sort of a not sort of cool profession.
It's not exactly glamorous.
Yeah, and right. I think there's some classism going on between the different countries respectively.
Like nationalism stuff. They're just like, right. You being from Côte d'Ivoire makes you shittier than us.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of, I'm sorry to interrupt, but, and I haven't seen it yet, but I know you have, Zach.
Oh.
The most recent Indiana Jones movie. I read the plot synopsis because I thought, like, I don't know if I'm even going to actually go see this. I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait for it to come to streaming, which is a wild thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if child me heard me say that, they'd be so upset.
But 2023, he was like, yeah.
Yeah. So I read the plot synopsis, and it says, Indy goes for some help from his friend Sala, who he helped Sala and his family immigrate to New York years earlier. And now Sala is a cab driver. Why? Yeah. Why is Sala, why did they make him, is there a story reason why being a cab driver makes sense? Because otherwise this man who owned a business and was the best digger in Cairo and was rich and knows that God exists.
Yeah.
Like,
literally.
And
watch like, that weird eye patch man die in his kitchen from eating a bad date.
No. It was the monkey that died.
Oh. Yeah. You're right.
But what I'm getting at is, like, there's no reason to make Sala a blue-collar guy. It was just like, Sala and his family came to the U.S. and they live in New York. Oh, and Sala is an importer-exporter. Is there a reason other than, like, oh, Indy, thank you for getting me a job, Indy. Like,
wow, you got the voice very right.
Because Sala has all the best lines in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. I've been saying Sala lines since I was a child.
Right, like, of course. No, he's
Cairo, city of the living.
Well, he also does.
That's a little Sean Connery there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, he let my soldiers be the rocks and the trees and the birds in
birds in the sky. I suddenly remembered my Charlemagne.
What are you expecting to find with the Grail, Dad?
Illumination.
Zach, answer the question now.
God damn it!
Answer my question about Sala.
Asps.
You'd
very
think
dangerous.
I could, but here we are. He is in very little of the movie. It's about 5 minutes. And no, I think it is supposed to be that like kind of rough trope where it's like, I was a doctor in my country and now I'm like working at the 7-Eleven thing. Like, it's that thing, but in modern times, which is...
Oh, or I was a clown in my country and now I'm a cab driver. Sure.
I'm just saying they could have made Sala different. Anything. So if it's not like useful for him to be a cab driver, why make
Listen,
like why put him
why was why he in the movie at all? Him he was in the movie for 5 minutes. Also Marion was in the movie for about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah,
like
so
they have these cameos that they could have made into entire characters, but
I hear Mutt died in Vietnam and Indy's all sad.
They did retcon that right up top. They're like, hey, no more LaBeouf, we're fucking done with him.
I read that plot stops. I won't say more, like, because I don't think I've said anything that like gives away what the movie's about, but holy shit, the ending of that movie, if people were mad about Crystal Skull, they are if anyone bothered to go see this, I imagine they would be fucking furious.
My
about this
guy, I okay. So Erica hates Crystal Skull, hates it. She's like, it's so stupid.
I think it's totally fine.
I also think it's a fun romp. Like, don't take
and
it
you
too
know
seriously.
What,
it's
you know
okay.
what works about Crystal Skull? Steven Spielberg directed it, and it looks like a movie that Steven Spielberg directed.
100%.
And it could only ever be so bad.
Yes, and the criticism that Erica has about Crystal Skull is, oh, the fucking aliens, like, they went too far. In this movie, they literally time travel and go back and meet Archimedes. Fuck my whole ass. What are you talking about?
These are all the things that I wasn't going to say, but yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter. It's, like, right in there.
All right.
God damn it. So she walked out and the first thing I said to her was, that's so much stupider than Crystal Skull. And she lost her mind. She was like, no way, Crystal Skull's way stupider. And I was like, they took the Nazis back to fucking Roman times. What are you talking about?
Greek.
Or Greek, yeah, fine. Oh my god, lost
I Erica,
my mind.
Erica, I can't choose a side because I haven't actually seen it. My instinct is to agree with Zach on this one. As yeah. long as we're here, this is the thing that I was talking at Seth about the other day.
Okay.
Here is what I don't like about Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is a movie that is 85% conversations. And you know who is a really boring filmer of conversations?
Chris Nolan.
Fucking Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
It's just one person on screen.
One person on screen.
And it makes sense for like Oppenheimer in the context of the movie at certain times to where it's like it's just Oppenheimer because like yeah. this is his world and everything. It's like that. But you know what? You know what? Not every single fucking shot of the fucking movie. It was so like anybody. If you want to say it was the best movie of the year at the end of the year and give it an Oscar, fine. If you want to say that certain people gave incredible performances and they get Oscars, great. And you know what? I like those actors, so fine. Man. If he wins Best Director for this shit, I don't understand. I yeah. truly don't understand. And the thing that made me think of this is Raiders of the Lost Ark, the bar scene after Indy thinks Marion died, the scene with Belloc and Indy, they have a conversation yep. that it's literally just two people having a conversation, and it's the most visually interesting fucking shit.
yeah.
And it's not flashy. Yep. It's just the camera, the thing everyone says about Spielberg. He knows where to put the camera.
Mm-hmm, sure
and that's
does.
Exactly what that movie is. Yep. It's exactly what every Spielberg movie is. And it's the polar opposite of Oppenheimer. Also, why did it need to be on IMAX? It's just people in rooms.
Hey, at least you got to see Cillian Murphy's entire dick. That must have been.
No, fun. I didn't.
No, I know.
Not in there.
It's not a in there. Crime.
yeah, they really robbed us.
Such bullshit.
Horseshit, yeah. Indy was fun. I wouldn't have gone to see it in the movie theater given the choice, but everybody should watch the new one. Like, it's fun enough. Like,
yeah, I'll probably
I mean,
watch it.
If depending on what I'm doing on Tuesday coming up, maybe I'll go if it's still in the theater because the multiplex around here has cheap movies on Tuesday. So,
oh, yeah. right on, yeah.
So we're in Paris, and there's a cab driver from Cote d'Ivoire, and there are diplomats from another country being shitty.
Yeah,
that is correct. Exactly correct.
Go.
So. He kicks them out because he's fucking tired of hearing their bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then he picks up a blind woman, a French woman, and he initially manages to insult her, like, right off the bat. Kind of one of those, like, oh, what's it like to be blind or whatever? And she's like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. And then he, as the ride goes on, he finds her kind of alluring, but she isn't having any of the following up questions because she's already pissed off at him. So... lets her out. As he's leaving, he kind of rubbernecks because now he's like kind of into her, I guess. As he's driving away, hits another car, who then yells racist shit of him at him as the girl hears it and then like laughs because she
and,
kind of
and,
got the
and she yells,
her.
What, are you blind?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She gets the last like you right. know, punchline or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's so. Paris.
That's Paris. Rome. Roberto Benigni is a cabbie who is clearly plumb out of his gourd.
Forgot about Roberto Benigni.
Yeah, he is the most annoying goddamn person in the world.
He's Roberto Benigni.
He's driving around at 4 in the morning with sunglasses on. Yep.
He's doing his own thing. There was one of the trivia... I have a different trivia about him, but the one that I didn't write down was he... There was vague dialogue in the script and he went like, nope, not for me, and just ad-libbed his entire thing, and it's just him like spewing nonsense
yeah,
for
he just,
20
he just
minutes
talks nothing,
just insanity.
It is exhausting.
It is, it's a lot, especially after you've already been very tired of watching this bullshit for like an hour and
right
15 minutes
and also the first version of this that I watched I didn't have any of the subtitles for Paris.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. And then I didn't have most of the subtitles for the Rome one, and then I was like, maybe I should get some subtitles before I finish.
Yeah. We found
you
some boot
have
links, so.
Access to Max. I gave you have a profile on my
yeah,
this
I didn't...
This
know.
Was not on Max when we watched.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain of it.
Yeah.
I found a copy, I think. Yeah,
yeah, we did set this up a while ago. That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's fucking out of his mind. He picks up a priest and starts rambling about all of his sins, which include fucking a pumpkin, also a sheep, and then later his sister-in-law in that order.
Yep.
To the point that the priest is increasingly uncomfortable and eventually has a literal heart attack and dies.
Yep.
At which point, Roberto leaves his body on a park bench to presumably be Weekend at Bernie by some strangers. End of thing.
End
That's
of thing.
It.
I mean, if a priest is going to die in public and be left somewhere, like, Rome is second only to a very small country inside of Rome.
Sure.
That's true.
Yeah. The worst of all countries, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, Helsinki. A cabbie picks up three incredibly drunk guys.
Yeah, which is normal.
One, yeah, well, especially at, like, 5 a.m. or whenever it's supposed Finland. To be. Yeah. Yeah. One just lost his job, and he has a family to provide for, and so they're sort of commiserating about that.
And he's passed out.
Yeah, he's, like, gone. Totally done. Mm-hmm.
Lost his job, has a family to provide for, and drinks so much to pass out. I can relate to that guy.
Just a regular Wednesday.
Just kidding. My partner makes way more money than me.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, that's
true. So at this point, the cabbie tells a very extremely sad story about his very premature daughter. Against all odds, she survived, and then they got very attached to the baby, and it did finally die. Mm-hmm. The very drunk men that are still
I was going to make some sort of umbilical cord joke, but yeah, like, probably. I'm so glad I didn't.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a weird tonal ending for this movie.
Yeah, it really is.
So the two still awake guys, like, really start to feel for him. They're, like, crying and stuff, and they all bond over this horrible story. The two dudes leave, and then the mega drunk guy leaves, and that's the end.
That's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Not with a scream, but with a whisper. It just ends.
Yep.
So weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think this is, if I do go down a Jarmusch journey, I doubt that this will be
go back the to starting point. Coffee and cigarettes and then quit there. That's the...
I don't know. I hear good things about, what's the one with Tom Waits and Roberto Benigni?
Oh, this has a bunch of Tom Waits in it.
Does have a bunch of Tom Waits in it.
Oh, there's one where Tom Waits is like an actor.
Yeah, there's a bunch of
isn't that
of
Coffee and Cigarettes? I think that's Coffee and Cigarettes.
Well, there's one that's not, because I know Coffee and Cigarettes is all vignettes. Like, there's one that's like an actual, like,
is it,
narrative.
Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai?
No, but I hear that rules. That's the one with Forrest Whitaker, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that movie, I have seen that. It's something. I don't know. It's so weird. It's so
weird. I think
weird.
It's an early one, Seth.
It's
like,
1999. But, oh.
The one I'm trying to think of.
Maybe Mystery Train? I don't know. I got nothing. I haven't seen most
his,
of these.
His new stuff is not.
Oh,
like,
you're talking
again,
about Down by Law. That looks
Down by Law.
Yeah, that looks like a Tom Waits, and that poster has a Tom Waits and a Roberto.
I hear good things about that one.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Only Lovers is great. The new zombie one is great. Most of the new stuff is like he dialed back his eccentricities just enough to make them palatable, I think. And the old ones are just like smelling his own farts. Like, it's just like, oh god, okay, I get it. You're doing a thing.
Well, could it be like transition from indie films to
like
I've got some money now, so I can do a little bit more.
I think so.
Could do a little bit more in different areas where before I had to innovate in certain ways, and now I have a little more money, so I can innovate in different ways.
Yeah. And I think Only Lovers is a genuinely good movie. It has actual, like, structure and stuff.
Well, there's
like
a plot.
Right. Like, that helps a lot, turns out. I don't know. He hit some stride where it seemed like he was kind of trying to do a wider audience thing, although not like a massively wide audience, obviously. So, yeah, I don't know. What is this? Yeah, he'd done four other movies before this. Kind of feels like he's leaning entirely on the cabbie angle. Like,
yeah.
That is somehow provides structure to this thing, but like
know.
It's
sorry,
just
I got distracted by reading about Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, which is a movie I actually want to watch. So.
It's wild. It's Forrest Whitaker like becomes the vigilante of his neighborhood, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna watch it. So
I just remember seeing trailers for it when I was
like,
this came out in the mid '90s, right?
Yeah,
I remember seeing trailers.
It was 1999, so it was right around when there was that huge, like, sort of anime-y influence popping up, like The Matrix, right? And all of those sorts of things.
Well, so, like, I'm watching movies in 99, 2000 on VHSs from the video store, and, like, this
or
is
like
a
the
very
manga,
common
The Replacement, starring Keanu Reeves.
This is a very common manga trailer on movies that I'm renting and thinking like, whoa, what is this? And then I, for whatever reason, I never watched. And probably honestly, the movie I never watched is because like my video store wasn't cool enough to get the Jim Jarmusch
experience,
Forrest Whitaker samurai movie. Like,
and yet, like, Coffee and Cigarettes was always one of those like non-blockbuster movie rental things where you saw it because like the people that worked at movie the rental places were like, "Ooh, that's like cool" or whatever.
I remember where I grew up, the non-chain video stores died before I became old enough to like recognize.
Okay,
the like, oh, there's a section over here that isn't just the new release wall with 47 copies of Little Nicky.
Or exactly.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had one of those, and I remember watching a lot of those kind of movies when I was like 12, 13, 14, and just truly not understanding anything about them, but just being like, so this is what people like. Okay. So there was should like I really, like this? I guess I should like
there,
this.
There was like a really beloved one in the town we all used to live in, and it was very close to one of my old apartments. And it went out of business, obviously.
They all did.
A few years back. I think it went out of business while I was living near it. So like this is 10 years ago at this point. And I can remember at my job, every once in a while, people who were like local, grew up in the area, would talk lovingly about this video store that no longer exists. And one of our part-timers that we hired was like, oh my god, I know, I loved it so much, I worked there, I used to do this and that, and like I remember they said this in front of me and my boss and someone else who we worked with and a customer, and the customer who only interacted with this person for like 5 minutes looked at us and went, oh my god, is that why they went out of business, because she was there? They knew immediately how nightmare this employee was. It's like, oh wow, okay, yeah, sure, yeah, probably that's probably why.
Friend Lynn
with an E definitely put them out of business.
A friend of the show, Kev, worked at one of these in college, and I think they only stayed open because of the porn section, but it was exclusively only like curated indie movies and then porn at about a 50-50 split.
Nice. Let me tell you, the only movie I ever rented from this movie, this video store I'm talking about, was Lars von Trier's comedy.
Ooh.
He has a comedy.
He made a workplace comedy.
Was it Grizzly Man? Can't be.
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
My partner is a von Trier fan, and she wanted
Was it that one with Casey Affleck and whatever, just wandering around for a while? Is that a Lars von Trier?
No.
Sounds like
that,
it.
That was a movie I faked.
Manchester by the Sea?
It was just a first name.
Oh, Jerry or something. Right?
Jerry. Is it a Soderbergh?
It was Jerry. Oh, fuck that movie. That was so dumb. Oh my god.
No, my you know, like my dream job, like people have asked, like now, like, you know, I'm unemployed at the moment, and it's like part of being unemployed and not being in a total desperation to find it. Gus Van Sant.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right. I had Lars.
But like part of being unemployed and not being in total desperation to find a job like right this second is like people tell you, oh, you figure out what you actually want to do. Like, all right. You know, I guess.
Bitch, I don't want to work.
But when people ask me like if you had to have any job, like if you had to have a job, what would that job be? And it's like, I want to work at a video store. Yeah. Like they don't exist anymore. The thing I want to
work
exist
at a half video store, half burrito experimental restaurant, I guess.
Oh, with pictures of my friend's video store just everywhere.
Yeah. The Seth pictures are good. That works for me.
But you have a whole wall of Mighty Mighty Boston's concert DVDs, probably. We have to Scott theme everything.
that's true. That's true. That's the wallpaper. It's Boston's DVDs.
That's sure. Lee, Seth, and Zach picks every month is just Boston's DVDs.
Like, you guys really love the Boston's. They're like, I've never watched one of these fucking movies.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It just feels right. Yeah.
Zach, I got nothing to say about this thing. So what do you want to...
The only thing I had that's probably worth anything. So besides Benigni ad-libbing his entire fifth of the movie, there was some trivia about... the cab is a Fiat, I guess.
One
maybe
of them.
That's canonical for Italy? I don't know. I know Fiats are...
Yeah, like a Fiat 500.
Yeah, it was a Fiat 128. Mm-hmm. And the cars do get progressively older. So, like,
I'm pretty sure in the new Mission Impossible movie, there's a chase scene where Tom Cruise and Hayley Atwell are bombing around Rome in a Fiat 128.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Like the car in LA is a 1985 Chevy. The car in New York is a 1983 Ford. The car in Paris is a 1980 Peugeot.
Peugeot.
And Rome is the Fiat from 76. And then in Helsinki, it's, of course, a 73 Volvo.
You can roll that baby over. No problem.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they could probably stuff way more drunk guys in there and roll it down a hill, and it'd be fine.
Put a 1.5 million miles on one of those. So they hired a stunt driver. There's this, like, one hairpin turn for the exterior shots. And they hired a stunt driver, and no matter how many times he tried, he couldn't do the thing. It was, like, so tight, he just, like, spun out or, like, couldn't, like, commit to it every time. So Roberto asked if he could try once, and in one take, he pulls it off perfectly.
The only reason that worked is because he's not a professional driver.
Yes, he just balls to the wall of the thing.
Yeah, he doesn't have like a lifetime of like muscle memory or like knowledge of how you're supposed
or
to
self-preservation,
take a
right?
Yeah.
Much like Tom Cruise, he wants to die on screen, I think. Yeah.
I can't recommend this chase scene in this movie enough, honestly.
Sure.
It's great. It's funny. Like, remember how in the new Fast and Furious, they did a whole thing through Rome and down the Spanish stairs, and it looked like shit.
Yes.
And it was boring.
Very CGI. Yeah.
Opposite. Yeah. Opposite.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had you were talking about the 500, which is an abysmal car. I went to Italy with my sister a couple years ago now, and we rented a car, and one of the questions was manual or automatic? And I said, what? So we got a manual Fiat, and then I had to figure out how fast kilometers are compared to miles per hour. I was like, oh, this is wild shit. I was like, we're going 100 kilometers an hour. That's either 55 or like 700 miles an hour. I'm not entirely sure.
Is Italy's not right hand drive, is it?
Or no, they're same as us.
They're left hand. Yeah. There's only like five countries that do right hand drive, right?
Yeah, UK, some weird island places.
Are they all former
Commonwealth
nations?
Australia, right, New Zealand drive. Also.
Yeah. I don't think I could do that. The not knowing which way to look if you're pulling into traffic is very frightening.
Like combining manual with right-hand drive sounds like a nightmare.
The thing is that, for example, in New Zealand, there's no such thing as a turn on red, so you don't have to worry about it in the same way, like a lot. Because in the States, you have all of these turn on reds. In New Zealand, when I was driving, it's not an issue because that's an insane thing, and also you have to stop at zebra crossings, which also should be a thing in the States but is not.
What to not kill pedestrians, that makes sense.
Well, maybe a pedestrian,
right? But this is a car country, Seth.
I know
get on board, baby.
you walking and bike riding motherfucker.
Yeah, how dare.
Oh god, to live somewhere again where not owning a car would make sense.
Yeah. Even prohibitive, I think. Yeah. In some places. Yeah.
C'est la vie. Zach, what else? Anything else?
Nope, that's pretty much it. This movie sucks shit.
Yeah,
I was so bored.
Shit. I think we both considered it not even a movie.
Yeah.
It's not
I watched it when I was working and I was still mad. Like, I couldn't ignore it enough to not be mad.
Yeah.
It was just shocking because you're able to ignore so many important things when you watch stuff while you're working.
Lee and I talk about movies so often. And he's like, remember that time? And I'm like, nope. I sure don't.
I think I sent to Zach when I was in the Benigni section, Benigni might be the most annoying man alive.
Yes. Confirmed.
Yeah. And then, it's on the Criterion, and it shouldn't be.
Jarmusch.
Yeah, but, like, Chasing Amy is in the Criterion Collection, too.
Oh, wow. Not even a good Kevin Smith.
It's not great. Should we get to ratings, I guess?
Yeah, give that IMDb.
Oh, Jesus. All right, well, it's 63,000 votes. It's a 7.7.
Ugh. Everybody else likes the smell of Jim's farts too, apparently.
I guess so.
So I have a question. Dumb. Like, this seems like a movie that would have Independent Spirit Awards or like was in competition for the Palme d'Or or something. Are there any awards?
No, I don't
or anything?
Think
like,
so. Not, I think he wasn't. He wasn't quite famous enough yet, so it was truly just an indie that kind of didn't get any traction until he got famous later, probably after Coffee and Cigarettes mostly. Yeah.
It's got a, yeah, I mean, it's, I think a lot of the soundtrack is Tom Waits.
Doing covers,
I think? It won the Independent Spirit Award for Best Cinematography.
Ooh, hard disagree. But
yeah.
Okay.
But hey, whatever. Okay, so I'll go first. The original is a nothing movie. It's so boring and not even a movie. Even though it has the fifth character, which I care so deeply about.
Helsinki?
yeah, and it's Helsinki. So it gets a 2 for Helsinki and a 2 overall, which is a total of 2.
Only Helsinki gets points. That makes sense. Okay.
I hated the rest of this. It's done. And I was so irritated with Benigni. That 20 minutes made me so mad that I couldn't do anything. Yeah.
Typically, when you guys give a movie this kind of a rating, in my head, I'm like, oh, you should watch this because it sounds like you'll probably like it.
I don't.
They hated it. If they hated it this much in this way, I'll probably like it. But the Benigni part just is insurmountable for me, I think.
Yeah,
it's I feel like I tried to convey this in the descriptions, but every time one of the segments ended, I think every 5 times went, oh, that's it. Okay.
I guess like, East literally German nothing man happens. Is trying to get home. Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, I guess
there's no point to anything.
Guy was in a car accident. Huh.
Yep. Done and done.
It's very dumb. Lee, for your cool, awesome mockumentary murder show.
We call them faux documentaries when they're not
A mockumentary, right? Because they are. Yeah. A little
I got different. That from Christopher Guest.
Yes.
So I think you can't roll your eyes at me because if anyone is the authority on what to call these movies, it would be him.
Yeah, true. He gets to pick, and also he's very likable, so he could. Yeah, that's
Chris
fine.
Guest rules, man.
And especially you're doing it exactly right with the murders at the end. I'm gonna give you an 8.
Solid.
0.2.
Whoa. Gotta go back to that cell in the spreadsheet. Okay.
I mean 0.3.
You don't get the 0.3. If I get that far back in the spreadsheet, maybe I'll.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Regular movie, agreed. Again, I think it is a thing that only as a teen who didn't actually have fully formed opinions on things, but my opinions were mostly, this seems like a thing that I would be cool if I liked, so I will assert that I like it, even though I don't. I think that's the only way this movie works. And,
like anything I bought at Hot Topic. Yeah.
Oh, see, I actually did like all that shit.
Oh.
But, fair enough. Mm. Yeah.
I also didn't want snake bites, so.
Oh, I very did. That's true.
I know.
Yeah. I still have giant holes in my head. 37. What are we doing? I don't know. I'm going to even go like a 1.6 on that. OG. It sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't like to. Meh.
Maybe you would. Give it a shot. See how you
if you're
go.
Really, if you're really bored and in like the right mood for that thing, maybe. But
and ready tell for 20 minutes of Roberto Benigni verbally assaulting a man and then killing
him. I've got so many movies to work through, including different Jarmusch movies before I get to this one.
Yeah. Sure.
So it's Only Lovers, the zombie one, Only Lovers 2 more times, and then
maybe Coffee and Cigarettes, and then
Only Lovers again, and then
I don't know, I hear good things about Patterson.
And then Ghost Dog, awesome.
I forgot about
Way
Patterson.
The Samurai. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Patterson, also Adam Driver. The literal summary to that movie on IMDb is like, nothing happens to this man. That's the movie.
Isn't it like, isn't it like semi-inspired by the William Carlos Williams book of poems, Patterson?
It is.
Why would I know that? I don't know.
Because so much depends on a red wheelbarrow, Zach.
Oh, well, I remember watching Patterson and
slash being... worst William Carlos Williams poem.
Okay.
Yeah,
by far. It is literally another nothing happens and you're just supposed to slice of life the whole thing. And I was like, I don't know, looking at Adam Driver's great, but the rest of it can fuck off. Mm-hmm. It is dull. Yeah.
Well, I really like William Carlos Williams, so maybe I'd like that one.
Give it a shot, by all means. Yeah. Yeah. Your movie was great. I have watched way shittier versions of this horror movie. Like, again, Hell House, Hell House LLC, a real title of a movie, and then Hell House LLC 2, The Reckoning, or whatever the fuck the tagline was.
Wow.
I love this format so much. And I think you did a very good. Also, the, like, you learn to hate the main character, and then it's not a rope-a-dope. That person actually just dies at the end. Like, that's really fun, too.
Sometimes the best rug pull is not trying to be tricky.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, but especially if you think that the tricky is going to happen, and then at the end the actual thing just happens and you go, ha, okay, we did it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a hallmark of Canadian horror movies that I watch a lot.
Could be.
There's like a handful of Canadian horror directors that, like, that's just what they do, and they're very good at it.
And horror is that genre where you can only slice the cake so many ways. Like, it's like, oh, I've seen this movie before, but, like, I've seen this version of the movie-ish before, but, like, I still like watching it. Like, I'll watch a new version of that, for sure.
There's a very specific person I'm thinking of.
Is it
Stephen Kostanski's movies do that a
lot. Not William Carlos Williams.
He did The Void.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
There's the... Yeah,
he also did Psycho Goreman, which
we can all care about Psycho Goreman.
Different, but like,
didn't love that, but I get it.
Really? Oh yeah. My god, I love Psycho Goreman. I know so much.
I know it's like all fucked up and full of worms or whatever that movie was doing.
Another movie I love. Yeah.
I enjoyed Psycho Goreman, so
I think I got it. And then like 5 minutes in, I was like, oh, it's just all this? Okay.
In honor of Psycho Goreman, Zach, I'm going to say frick you, even though you haven't
Touché.
Given me a score yet.
Yeah. 8.9. Yeah.
Hey.
Great job.
That's my Patrick Warburton.
No, sure.
Micro impressions, boys. That's where it's at. That's where the money's at now.
Foo Fighters. Yeah, every time. Yeah.
Exactly. That's even long for a micro impression. That is. A
lot of syllables. Okay. Next one, I'll be doing a movie called The Hunger, which I don't know, but I felt like I did know, and I guess we'll find out. So.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Hell of a cast. Great director.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Goofs. We can't end on that.
Oh shit.
I think we can't. That could be it. That could be the end.
That's obvious. Yeah.